Hasn't this week been typical Argo? Just when you think that all the pre-season doom and gloom and general negativity has been misplaced following their fantastic and encouraging and upbeat performance against Wolves, they bring you crashing straight back down to earth again with an absolute shambles of a show at Luton in the Carling Cup. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, and welcome to the Argyle podcast. This is Jim from theoffside.com. Welcoming you to another instalment of Fortune Argyle. And my goodness me, it really has been, you know, an epitome of a week for us. I didn't go to Luton, thank goodness. And I feel genuinely sorry for those 350 hardy souls who did to witness what sounds like a side that just simply didn't turn up. And no doubt we got absolutely our just desserts. And it's hard not to feel pleased for the Hatters, really, given, you know, the struggles they've had in the last couple of seasons and how having to start their League Two campaign on minus 30, really, any extra bones that they can be thrown, I think, the better. But, you know, from an Argyle point of view, it's just not acceptable. And Sturrock was pretty clear about that, threatening to send a couple of players packing. Not sure who those might be. Johan Folley's been mentioned, but really, he's hardly had any opportunities at all, what with his illness and injury problems and so on. It's kind of hard to see, really, you know, if he is even match fit or not. I don't know. But let's go back to Wolves. And really, that was a performance, as I said, of great encouragement, great excitement. Really good game to watch, you know, high tempo, two sides, you know, having a right good go. No doubt in my mind that Wolves had the more quality. I thought Michael Kightley was head, shoulders and stomach above pretty much anybody else on the pitch. Or he was, at least until once he started drifting inside. I thought, you know, for the first half or so of the match, Chris Barker, the guy who'd only signed that morning from QPR, had done a pretty good job on him, really, to keep him quiet out on the right. But he drifted inside, started looking for the ball, and for some reason we then started backing off him. And he really did begin to make the show buzz. A very exciting player, who I would think is probably Premiership bound. Maybe even in this window, I would think almost certainly in January. Encouraging to see Rory Fallon score again. What a really delicate little flick he got in there from possibly the most Route 1 goal we've ever scored. You know, big lump from Stack, who I thought as well had a really good game. Yeah, big lump from him, and Rory being quicker than most. And you don't say that very often. Got a left foot to it and beautifully lobbed over the keeper. I think you can blame defensive errors really for all four goals that were scored on Saturday. Certainly the Wolfies were slow to react, both for Rory's lob and for Sipes turning from the corner. They sort of stood and watched. And really, we did the same. And there was no way that Foley should have got the cross in for the first goal. And really, Matt Dumbe, what were you thinking? Just to stand and watch as Kylie finished it off very, very well indeed. And then for the second, really, is it? What can you say? It's just calamities always up, giving the ball away in midfield. Nice one too between Iolumo and Vokes, but really they should never have been in that position to start with. So there we go. Defensive frailties, bit of quality proving our undoing, but we fought gamely for a point. Maybe could have had a winner, you know, last minute free kick. I thought Luke Summerfield had a really good game. He gets a lot of stick on the message boards, and I think, for the most part, unfairly. I know he's slight. I know he's often eased off the ball in the tackle, but that's not really his job to win the ball. And I thought, given the fact he had an enforcer with him, Simon Walton, who I also thought played well, you know, he had a real opportunity to spray the ball about, and by and large he took it. One bit of a disastrous free kick in the second half, which Wolves nearly scored from. But other than that, his set pieces were on the money, and he was pinging the ball left, right and down the middle with considerably more freedom than he's had recently. And he was doing his fair share of mopping up and the simple stuff as well. So, you know, I think there's a future for Luke at the club. The other guy who I thought played really well, who I haven't mentioned, was Jermaine Easter. Not spectacular, not eye-catching, but my goodness, didn't he work hard. Ran up and down and up and down and up and down, as he always does. And actually, most of our set pieces, you know, came from Jermaine getting in the face of the defence and hassling them into mistakes. I mean, Craddock and Stearman, not the most mobile. And Easter against Craddock was one of the battles of the afternoon, I thought. Craddock really didn't like Jermaine in his face, backing into him. And it was an awful lot of holding and pushing and shoving from the Wolves' number six. I don't know how much longer he's got. He looked to me to be slow and off the pace, Jody Craddock. But having got rid of Gary Breen in close season and brought in Stearman from Leicester, who was gangly and organised, you know, the communication wasn't brilliant between him and Craddock. Interesting to see. So, all in all, a very positive performance from my perspective in the Wolves game. I didn't go to Luton, as I said. And frankly, the less said about the performance, the better. I don't know what the Sturrock is going to draw from that in terms of selection for tomorrow's game at Reading. I would hope that Jason Puncheon would start. I imagine that the central midfield will be the same, Walton and Summerfield. Maybe this our new signing, Craig Noon from Southport, will get a nod on the bench. It'd be nice to see him given a chance. I don't know when the last time was that we signed a player from, count them, one, two, three, four leagues below us. Having had his fingers burned a little bit by not acting immediately on his scouts' recommendations, Sturrock seems to have gone for this one. And 110,000 is 110,000 is 110,000. You know, worth a gamble, I would say, at this level. So welcome, Craig. And also welcome to Chris Barker, who was signed too late for last week's podcast and who seems to have slotted in and made appropriate Argyle-shaped sacrifices in terms of his wedding ring. It was happening sort of right down in front of me, and I wasn't really looking. I could see there was some sort of fuss with the referee and Barker and one or two others looking interested on. I didn't realise that he'd had to be taken into the dressing room and had the thing sawn off. So I hope he's got it fixed and Mrs. Barker is not too distressed. Welcome to Craig Cathcart from Man United, the young centre-back. We're very excited to have him on board. And given the rate at which Timo is progressing, which has been amazing, but he's clearly not match fit yet, I think there's definitely going to be a role for him to play in the 6 months ahead. A couple more signings apparently on their way. We're still waiting for Stoke to sign Amadi Faye before we can pick up Glenn Whelan. I hope that's going to go through this week. And possibly also Darren Gibson from Man United. And we do need a striker. Some wild rumours being bandied around about David Healy. I don't think that's going to happen. But I do think somebody else might. Don't know yet. I'm keeping my ear close to the ground. If I hear anything, I will let you know. So, on to Reading. And you remember last week we had Dino Wolf offering us his thoughts about how the game was going to go. Delighted to say that we've got Chris Kitley from Vital Reading. Now, he's a non-audio person, so he's sent me in kind of his views. And the first thing I asked Chris was how he felt after Reading's 0-0 draw with Forest. Chris's response was to say that he was pretty disappointed, really. Sonny had been a bit of an anti-climax. It was a poor game, he said, and it was. I caught some of it on the telly. And he thought that Reading did not play well at all and that quick improvements were going to be needed if they were going to fulfil their undoubted potential in this league. He's not been at all impressed with the Reading signings, and they've only picked up Noel Hunt, Stephen's brother, having lost Dave Kitson to Stoke. And he really thinks that Coppell needs to add one or two more before the transfer window closes, or they are going to be in some sort of trouble. Despite their poor start, though, Chris thinks that Reading have more than enough quality to go straight back up. I tend to agree with him, and he's going to be disappointed if they don't make the playoffs, and he thinks that automatic is a definite possibility. He thinks that Kevin Doyle and Leroy Lita, provided they can get the service, will call us serious problems on Saturday. His view is that they're both too good for this level. I don't know if I agree with that, really. Leroy Lita really struggled in the Prem last year. I think he got one goal. And sometimes you wonder if his attitude just doesn't overshadow his talent sometimes, but we'll have to see. But Chris's view is that they could well make the difference between them going up or not if they can keep their form together. And I asked him about it, the weaknesses in the Reading side, and he targeted something that I picked up on Sunday as well, with their central midfield was very, very weak indeed. And I think they've lost Matejowski as well for a bit, which isn't going to do them any favours at all. And they also seem to have a problem at left back. So maybe this is the opportunity for Jason Puncheon down the right-hand side to give Stephen Hunt a bit of a mauling. We'll have to wait and see. As far as Argyle are concerned, from Reading's perspective, he pinpointed Graham Stack, who, as we all know, had a superb game on Saturday. And, of course, he's an ex-Reading player. No, it wasn't in goal when we won there at the Majestic, but he was, I think, on the bench. And, if Stacky can continue his good form, then a point or two or three might not be out of the question for us, he thinks. And finally, I've asked him for his score prediction, and Chris has gone for a 2-1 Reading win. They need to up their performance from Sunday, he says, but in front of the home crowd, he thinks that might well be on. So 2-1 Reading from his point of view. Fair and balanced, I think. Certainly, I'm going to the Majestic. I'm looking forward to it. Going on the official travel club, which I've never been on before. I've used several other supporters, club coaches, but I've never used the official travel club. I'm going to be on coach 3, so looking forward to that. Long day. But a nice straightforward journey to the Majeski, so should be lots of fun, and looking forward to the occasion very much indeed. Should be lots and lots of excitement up there. Other than that, we look forward to new players coming in and the end of the transfer window. Always a hectic and chaotic time for clubs. And then Swansea live on Sky. And a game that I'm going to be missing because I am away that Saturday camping on Cheltenham Racecourse as part of a festival. So I will be setting the DVD recorder. And also I'm looking for Swansea fans or Argyle fans to contribute to that podcast, which I'm going to be needing to put together probably Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. So if you are interested at all, please do drop me a line, argylepodcast@yahoo.co.uk, or leave a comment on the website. Other than that, here's hoping for a fantastic performance at the Majeski and a positive Greens result, and look forward to seeing you all again very soon indeed. Thanks for listening, and keep it green.